motherfuckers, it's Groundhog Day! Get up and shake that hog out there!
Yeah!
Come here, Groundhog!
Yeah, it's Groundhog Day. Punxsutawney Phil gonna poke his head out the hole there at Gobbler's Knob and see if he sees a shadow or not, letting us know if it's gonna be six more weeks of winter. I don't think a whole lot of people are betting against this. Even if it were six more weeks of the winter we've been having, that'd be pretty much okay. We'd be all right with that, at least here in the Lowcountry. So, but we'll keep you updated. When Punxsutawney Phil, I mean, come on, Jim Cantore is in Gobbler's Knob. So you know this is a big deal, right? You know this is a big deal. And of course, our own Bill Murray, star of Groundhog Day. And I was talking with Sherry Bernardi yesterday. Would that movie have made a dollar if anybody were in it but Bill Murray? Seriously. I mean, Andie MacDowell, yeah, she's fine. But Bill Murray made the whole movie. And without him, you could put any comedic actor you wanted in that movie and it would have flopped big time. I'm not really even sure how much it made at the box office, but I'll tell you this. Probably it is most watched today more than any other day of the year. All right, we got a lot to talk about today. Riots in Berkeley last night. Oh, the precious little snowflakes are all upset over a speaker. We'll tell you about him. By the way, kind of an interesting fellow himself, Yanni Milopoulos. I'm sorry, Milo Yanniopoulos. We'll tell you about him and some of his beliefs. Also yesterday, looks like we've got a new Secretary of State, Jeff Sessions, and some more appointments from the Trump administration. Also, Donald Trump made a surprise exit of the White House yesterday when he went to go visit with the family of a fallen Navy SEAL. And it's one of those things kind of snuck out the back door. Get the helicopter ready and let's go. So all of that coming up for you this morning. But the big important news today is, of course, Gobbler's Knob. We got to find out what this rodent will say. No, Josh Marthers. Forget your degree from Mississippi State. Forget that. This is real science, buddy. A furry little animal. All right, who's having birthdays today? Shakira is 40 years old today. I'm sure I may have heard a Shakira song in my life, but I'm not sure which one. Christie Brinkley is 63 years old today. Graham Nash is 75 from Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Sometimes Young. Tommy Smothers from the Smothers Brothers, he's 80 today. Robert Mandan is 85. He was Chester Tate on Soap. Soap was groundbreaking primetime soap operas. It was a comedy. Liz Smith is 94 from the New York Post. Farrah Fawcett was born on this day in 1947. She passed away in 2009. In fact, she passed away, I believe I'm right on this, she passed away the same day Michael Jackson did. Today is, of course, Groundhog Day. We got 3 days until Super Bowl 51, 12 days until Valentine's Day. President's Day will be here in 18 days, and Daylight Savings Time will be here 38 days from now. It was on this day in 1863, a journalist in Carson City, Nevada, by the name of Samuel Clemens, sent a report to the Virginia City Enterprise, and for the first time, he used the name that he would eventually be known by, Mark Twain. How about that? Also, it was on this day 130 years ago, 1887, the first Groundhog Day was celebrated in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. 1985, O.J. Simpson married Nicole Brown. It was on this day in 1996, Gene Kelly passed away at the age of 83. Bob is out in Somerville. Let's talk to him this morning. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Betsy DeVos is the, you know, the nomination. I lived in Michigan for 30 years. Left there about 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Grand Rapids, Michigan, they started an aviation school. So you send your kid there to charter school.
Yeah.
And it started in fifth grade, and it's all the way when you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them depending on what you take, if it's engineering or if it's actually, you know, flying an airplane.
Right.
You have to fly and get your pilot's license before you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Charter school. And it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes everybody, not just rich people and all that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't understand the big problem with Betsy DeVos. Bob, I appreciate you calling in. Other than she's a billionaire, we'll talk with her or about her coming up in just a few minutes on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
You're getting vertical with Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It is 22 minutes past 6 o'clock as we wait for Punxsutawney Phil to make his rodentiary prognostication sometime today up in Gobbler's Knob. We'll bring that to you, of course. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. It's 556-1250. I was remiss when I said Jeff Sessions was confirmed last night. Rex Tillerson, I knew that. It was just early in the morning. Rex Tillerson is now the Secretary of State. So let's look how the Trump cabinet administration looks so far. Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, James Mattis, Secretary of Defense, Elaine Chao, Transportation, John F. Kelly, Homeland Security, Mike Pompeo, CIA, Nikki Haley, United Nations. We're still waiting on Stephen Mnuchin, Mnuchin, Jeff Sessions, Ryan Zinke, Sonny Perdue, Wilbur Ross, Andrew Pudzder, Tom Price, Ben Carson, Rick Perry, Betsy DeVos, David Shulkin, Scott Pruitt, Linda McMahon. I love the fact that Donald Trump has appointed Linda McMahon to head up small business. I love that with the WWE. I get a kick out of that. Mick Mulvaney, Office of Management and Budget, Dane Coates from the DNI, and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Leitziger. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, Betsy DeVos. Two Republican senators are saying that they are not going to vote for her. They're not going to vote for her. This thing could do something that is pretty much unprecedented, but it's the way it's designed to go. It could come down to a tie in the Senate, in which case the vice president, Mike Pence, would cast the deciding vote. And I don't think that's happened before with a nominee like this. So Betsy DeVos, of course, a lot of people say, well, she doesn't have any actual experience. She wasn't in education, yada, yada, yada. Well, listen, we've already seen what all of those people with all of those degrees have done. We've seen what the PhDs, we've seen how they have completely messed up our education system here in this country. Why not try something different? Well, she's a billionaire. Okay, so what? We just had a call a few minutes ago. Bob said when you know, she opened that charter school and it's absolutely fantastic, or she lobbied to have it open. So I don't see where we're having a businesswoman in there would be such a bad thing. Do you? Maybe you do. 25 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
This is fantastic. I feel all tingly all over.
On 1250 WTMA.
Okay, campers, rise and shine, and don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
It's cold out there every day. What is this, Miami Beach?
Not hardly.
So. That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and check that hog out there.
Yeah!
Sooey, sooey.
Come here, Groundhog.
All right, from Groundhog Day, that was the first time Bill Murray's alarm went off in the morning. The first time. And then we got to hear that several more times throughout the movie. Groundhog Day, it is February the 2nd. Glad to have you along with us. Of course, we're going to keep you updated this morning about what Punxsutawney Phil says about whether or not we will have six more weeks of winter or an early spring. Hate to tell you, Punxsutawney Phil, I think we pretty much started an early spring in December, didn't we? I think so. It seems like it. We jumped the gun on that one. All right, UC Berkeley there was a scheduled appearance over a Breitbart editor named Milo Yiannopoulos. And that, of course, you know, being a bastion of free speech and free thought, the students at UC Berkeley turned out to listen to what... No, I'm just kidding. They rioted last night. They all spilled out into the streets. They started setting fires. You know, that's how they do. They started setting fires. They were overturning trash cans. They were yelling. Oh, they even got violent with some of Yiannopoulos' supporters. One woman, she was sprayed with something. I don't know if it was pepper spray. I don't know if it were hairspray. Oh, I'm sorry. These are liberals. They don't use hairspray. I don't know if it was Axe body spray. That might have been what it was. No, wait a minute. They don't actually cover themselves up with things that make them smell good. I have no idea what it was. But I want that protester arrested for releasing fluorocarbons into the atmosphere. That protester should be arrested for damaging the environment. So hopefully we'll see that happen today. But this is what the left does. I mean, they say they want free speech. What happened to these people on the left? What happened to you? Where did your sense of decency go? That you are, I mean, look at the Women's March in Washington, D.C. Look at the trash that was left behind. Look at the protest against Donald Trump on Inauguration Day. Look at the cars that were burned, the windows that were smashed. They smashed a Starbucks. I mean, that's like Mecca for some of these liberals. They smashed a Starbucks window. So where did your sense of decency go? How can you be proud? And I heard an interview with some little snowflake. She was saying, well, I don't think the actions are appropriate, but the sentiment behind them, I understand. All right, well, that's fine. The sentiment behind them doesn't set a fire. These people are setting fires. They're overturning trash cans. They're destroying property. That's what they're doing. All because somebody has a different point of view than them. Now, who are the real fascists today? We elected a fascist as a president, so I'm going to burn this. Who are the real fascists today? It's the left. It's unbelievable. And Donald Trump tweeted that UC Berkeley, you were squelching free speech. So, and then he wrote, no federal funds? ? I like the idea. Absolutely. So they felt like their little safe zone was being violated. And just like children, they pitched a fit. They had a temper tantrum. Yes, of course we're going to take you seriously, right? Of course we want to sit down and talk with you when you get out there and loot and burn and destroy. Fascism is alive and well in America today, and it's all on the left. It's 14 minutes until 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie's taking your calls right now at 843-556-1250. You're listening to the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Of course, it is Groundhog's Day. We'll keep you updated on what Punxsutawney Phil has to say about winter. I think we already know. I mean, we've got Mount Pleasant Marthers. We don't need Punxsutawney Phil. We got Josh telling us, and we've got Rob Fowler telling us what it's going to do. We don't need no stinking badger to tell us what it's going to be. Anyway, Josh is saying that it's going to be about what we've been getting is what we're going to keep getting for the rest of the year as far as winter is concerned. So doesn't look like winter is really going to join us a whole lot. We had a couple of cold days this year, but pretty much it's going to be the same old, same old. And he was also saying this morning that everybody's saying, I don't remember a winter. I've been in Charleston all my life, and I don't remember a winter this warm. Well, it has been. and several times. In fact, a lot of times. This isn't abnormal. It's unusual, but it's not abnormal. I guess that'd be, it's abnormal, but it's not unusual. We'll put it that way. So we'll keep you updated on that. But it's still, it's a big deal. I mean, there in Gobbler's Knob, Pennsylvania, they are selling hotel rooms for about $400 a night to stay there. And I really think the movie Groundhog Day really gave this a lot more, made this more of a phenomenon than anything. Of course, our very own Bill Murray being the star of that movie, Andy McDowell, it was a fun show. All right, Spirit Airlines, you know, there's kind of a cut rate airline. Good though. I've flown Spirit Airlines and I enjoyed my experience with them. But a woman in Fort Lauderdale was set to fly from New Orleans on Sunday, but Spirit Airlines kicked her off the flight. And she says it was because she was showing too much cleavage. That's right. And she even posted a picture of her cleavage on her Facebook page. Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate that. Yeah, there you go. So, according to Spirit, the reason she was kicked off the flight, oh, okay, they kicked her off because she was drunk. Well, that explains it right there. And the flight attendant gave her a little bit of advice while she was leaving the plane when she said, quote, by the way, you might want to cover up, because she was showing so much. The woman wants Spirit to apologize to her. So. And if that's the amount of cleavage that you're showing in your picture, then I think maybe the flight attendant was right. You do need to cover up. Here are your headlines in 60 seconds.
Rex Tillerson is the new Secretary of State.
The yeas are 56. The nays are 43. The nomination is confirmed.
Following a rules change because minority Democrats didn't show, Republicans running the Senate Finance Committee approved the nominations of Steve Mnuchin for Treasury Secretary and Tom Price for Health and Human Services Secretary.
Beyonce is sporting a new baby bump. The singer and her husband, Jay-Z, who already have a daughter, announcing they're expecting twins. They made the announcement on Instagram.
President Trump's national security advisor taking a strong stand against Iran.
We are officially putting Iran on notice.
But General Michael Flynn wasn't specific about exactly what that means.
Federal jury is ordering Facebook, its virtual reality unit Oculus, and other defendants to pay a combined $500 million to ZeniMax Media.
Inmates at James T. Vaughn Correctional Center in Smyrna, Delaware, took employees hostage.
Builders reined in their spending in December. The Commerce Department reporting construction spending fell 0.2% in the final month of last year.
All right, those are your headlines in 60 seconds. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I'd love to talk to you on this Groundhog Day. We're keeping an eye on the monitors here to figure out when Punxsutawney Phil is actually going to poke his head out of the hole and let us know if we can expect six more weeks of this brutal Charleston winter that we've been having. Wow. We've been sleeping with the window open. It's February 2nd. We had the window open last night. I like that. All right, let's see what else is going on around the area. Oh, my gosh. Did you see this woman? Have you seen the folks? Now, this is the one thing I can't understand that people do, is they will stretch their earlobes out. They'll put this big hole in their ear, and then they will increase it and increase it and increase it until this thing gets, I mean, it's huge. Huge hole. And when I see something like that, I go, nope, not employable. Sorry. You come into my business and you're trying to represent my business and you got a big old, I mean, my gosh, your earlobes are hanging down to your shoulder and you've got a, anyway, this woman, I don't know if she was, I guess she was playing with her pet snake, strike number two, and the snake crawled through the hole in her ear. Yeah, it was that big. It was that big. And I don't know if this is something she had done before or this is, you know, was a new experience. Hey, I got an idea. But the snake got stuck in her ear and they couldn't get it out. So, and the picture of it online, I mean, I was scrolling through I think it was Facebook last night, and Sheila was sitting on the couch. We were looking at it on the television, and I was like, "What? How dumb do you have to be to think that's a good idea? Let's let the snake crawl through the hole in the ear, and it gets stuck." I'm not real sure. I'll check on how they actually got the snake out, but I'm sure they didn't hurt the snake. I'm sure they probably just clipped the earlobe. I don't understand people. I swear to you. The older I get, the less I understand the reasoning behind something like that. I got an idea. And this all comes from, it's cultural appropriation because there are tribes in Africa that do that. What I am waiting to see, and you're seeing maybe a little bit of this, is you know how they put that disc in their lip and they stretch their lip out? You've seen those guys on National Geographic and stuff? I'm waiting for that to happen. Oh, and then when they put the bands around their neck, the copper bands, and they stretch their neck out. Have you seen that? They can run around with that. I'm waiting to see one of those in Starbucks one day. I'm sure that's just right around the corner. I'm positive. People trying to be... I don't know. Anything for attention, y'all. Anything for attention. It's 6:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. We are watching live right now from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. The groundhog is about to tell us if we're going to have six more weeks of winter or an early spring. I'm saying he's going to do an early spring this morning. I don't think you could possibly say anything less. But just as soon as we know, we're going to let you know. Because apparently what they call the inner circle, the guys in their top hats have all assembled on the stage now at Gobbler's Knob in Pennsylvania. They are getting ready to announce what is the prognostication for Punxsutawney. Phil, what a big deal we make out of absolutely nothing. I mean, this is a major exercise that they're doing right now. It's just a little tiny stage out in the woods, it seems like, there in Gobbler's Knob. I know absolutely nothing about the place. And nobody else does for 364 days a year. But right now, we got about 15 minutes they're going to be talking for a long time. About 15 minutes until they actually make the prognostication. Matthew McConaughey kind of upset a lot of liberals yesterday when he said we need to embrace Donald Trump.
Every single American actor or arty type who comes over to London dumps on Trump. You all completely hate him. Do you think it's time that maybe Hollywood and the cultural elite of America gave this guy a break?
Well, they don't have a choice now. He's our president. And it's very dynamic and as divisive of an inauguration in time that we've ever had. At the same time, it's time for us to embrace, shake hands with this fact, and be constructive with him over the next 4 years. So anyone, even those who most strongly may disagree with his principles or things he's said and done, which is another thing, we'll see what he does compared to what he had said. No matter how much you even disagreed along the way, it's time to think about how constructive can you be, because he's our president for the next 4 years, at least. President of the United States.
That's right. He is president of the United States. I love the way McConaughey said, though, we got to see what he does in juxtaposition to what he said. Have you not been paying attention, sir? He is doing everything he said he was going to do. Even Morgan Freeman. That's right. Morgan Freeman. Now, this was the guy that actually voiced the Hillary Clinton campaign advertisements. We all remember him. Well, he said on CBS this morning when he was asked by Gayle King, she asked him if it felt like we were jumping off a cliff since the election. Morgan Freeman said he is not scared. He said, we just have to find out how we land. He also added, and I quote, I'm not holding out hope that Donald Trump has to be a good president. He can't not be. What I see is a guy who will not lose. Morgan Freeman, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Morgan Freeman. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, you're too kind. You're far, far, far too kind. It's 15 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Charlie James
on WTMA.com and 1250 WTMA.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
In tradition.
Hey, you know, I'm being stalked by a Nazi.
The groundhog wakes up from hibernation.
Please tell me she didn't sleep in your bed.
If it's a sunny day.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow?
He won't have a shadow.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
So he stays out to enjoy 6 weeks of mild, springy weather.
I do not believe that this dilemma will be solved by partying.
Looks like Punxsutawney Phil, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. Punxsutawney Phil has seen his shadow, and that means 6 more weeks of brutal, brutal winter weather here in the Lowcountry. Oh, my goodness, can you believe it? He did indeed see his shadow.
We're running with the shadows of the night. So, baby, take my hand. It'll be all right.
All right, today's Groundhog Day.
That is awesome.
All hail groundhog supremacy.
Oh, there's reasons as why all this Groundhog Day.
Amid much pomp and circumstance in Pennsylvania, Punxsutawney Phil made his annual Groundhog Day weather prediction.
Yay!
We're running with the shadows.
His handlers declared that he did see his shadow.
Whatever.
Yeah, did see his shadow this morning. So 6 more weeks of winter. I don't know what I'm going to do with these $100 power bills that I've been running up this winter. But, woo, I mean, they're killing me heating the house. So I think our power bill last month was $110. How am I digging that? Yeah, completely. So, all right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. If you would like to give us a call, of course, one of the things we're going to be talking about big time this morning is Betsy DeVos. She is the nominee to head up the Department of Education under Donald Trump. And there are a lot of people that are against Betsy DeVos. She's a billionaire, actually. But listen to this. This is a woman who is going to be in charge of a department that has an annual budget of $73 billion. $73 billion. And we have seen historically that when folks are in office and they want to, we spend more money per student on education than any country in the free world. More money per student, federal tax dollars, these are federal dollars, than any country in the world. And we get less results. So I don't understand why we're seeing, you know, and you know, it's all because of the teachers' unions. So why not try to get a businesswoman in there to head the Department of Education? Why not? I mean, she's very pro-charter schools. She's pro-magnet schools. She's pro-school choice. If you've got a student that is going to a substandard school, why would you want your child to go to that school? Why can't you have a choice? You know, right now, the United States, we are 14th in education. South Korea, Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong, Finland, United Kingdom, Canada, Netherlands, Ireland, Poland. Poland rounds out the top 10. And and we can keep going further. I mean, we're talking about Vietnam, Malaysia, Germany, Russia, Nicaragua, South Africa. You know, we are way down on the list as far as education is concerned, but yet we spend more money than anybody else in the world. So why not do something different? And it's like I was telling Sheila last night, and I didn't make this up. I'm not really sure who does. Einstein was attributed to it. But if you want to keep getting what you've been getting, then keep doing what you've been doing. But if you want to change the outcome, you're going to have to change the way you address the problem. And I think Betsy DeVos might be a good change for that problem. 25 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Brace yourself. You're about to get very popular.
On 1250 WTMA.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now and talk to Ike in North Charleston. Good morning, Ike. How are you? How you feeling, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm calling about the Supreme Court justice that they're, I feel fairly certain they'll have him confirmed.
Yeah.
But I heard a little thing about him that kind of surprised me. Were you aware that he started his own, he went to Jesuit high school.
Right.
Back in the day. Were you aware of the little club that he formed while he was in high school? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't heard about this. What is it?
It was called Fascist Forever. And basically, he founded it or started it because he said basically that the left wing was taking our society in the wrong direction and we're getting to be too powerful. And that kind of concerned me. When I add that up with people like Steve Bannon and some others in that administration that are close to the president and the influence of, you know, Breitbart, society-wide, you know, there's, I agree. This is a movement. It's a definite movement. And if I can, that Berkeley demonstration, that points up again, when these guys show up dressed up in black with their faces covered up,
there's no
doubt in my mind, they're anarchists. There was a peaceful protest being taken place there, which they had the right to do. They've done that before. And they keep doing it. And as far as I'm concerned, if the police see them coming, I'd scoop them all up in a net and take them to the jail.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree, you Ike. Know? I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for calling
Thanks,
in.
Buddy.
Let's go to Brad Franco out on News 2. We got a lot to talk about, a lot going on here in the Lowcountry. Brad Franco, good morning. How are you?
Hey, buddy, John and I were just planning our lunch.
And what are you going to get?
I don't know. I guess we all need to get together for lunch.
We do. I like that. It's a heck of an idea.
You know, Fred was out there yesterday when they were doing the remote from America's Got Talent at the North Charleston Convention Center.
Yeah.
And Fred, of course, had met Brad before, but he got a chance to actually meet Octavia and Josh in person.
Right.
So Brad was suggesting that we all get together and go out to lunch.
I love the idea.
Yeah, and John said that you offered to buy, so I'm like, I'm in.
Did he now? John is real generous with my money. I appreciate that.
I think it's a great idea.
Of course. By the way, we played a little bit of that clip of Octavia singing My Girl yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we swiped that off
the radio, too, singing My Girl.
That's right. That was perfect. So how did it go yesterday? Lots of folks turning out.
Well, the AGT producers said that it was a bigger turnout than they expected.
Really?
And for them to say that, and they said, actually, this may have been the best turnout that they've had in any of the open call cities. And when you talk about some of the bigger cities they've been to, that's pretty impressive.
Really is.
Pretty impressive,
Hopefully. So. Now, several people went on to the second round, and they'll be contacted by the producers, I guess, to let them know where they go from here.
So there's a lot of steps involved yesterday. It seemed like, some of the stuff that you're not allowed to talk about, but if the producers like them,
right,
in the next few weeks, they're going to be contacted. There's no set date or how that's going to work, but they'll get a phone call and they'll say, hey, you're coming along with us to Los Angeles and you get a chance to perform in front of the judges, the celebrity judges.
We're talking about
Simon, Mel B, Heidi, and Howie.
Yeah. Man, that's got to be exciting.
I heard there was a really good comedian in the building yesterday.
Uh-huh. And, all right.
That.
Well, good.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Hopefully we'll see somebody from the Charleston auditions there. The judge released a few of the notes from the Dylann Roof trial. What was in those notes?
You know, I haven't poured through any of those notes yesterday that came out. But it wasn't anything that shook the world.
Right.
But I'm suspecting that there's going to be more to come. But even then, I don't know what. I don't suspect that the judge is going to let out too much of that.
Right. Oh, yeah, probably not. Probably not. All right, so what else is going on in the low country, buddy?
Well, right now, 526 is what we're paying attention to, because the Mount Pleasant police put out on social media earlier this morning that the port alerted them that they have some issues going on with their system and that there could be some backups. There's been the occasional backup on the ramp to Long Point Road.
Yeah.
The camera doesn't swing over and give us a full view of Long Point, so if the listeners out there have an idea what's going on in Long Point Road, please let us know. But it looks good on 526. So if you're coming from West Ashley toward Mount Pleasant, 526 isn't an issue. Now, headed the other way, you have that same bottleneck that we've been dealing with for the last few weeks because of that construction on top of the Wando Bridge.
But Brian,
other than that, it looks okay now. And as I say that, the traffic is backing up on the ramp again. But it's not that constant backup that we saw when they launched this system a few months ago.
Yeah.
This is just the intermittent backup on the ramp. So, but I'd love to know what's going on Long Point Road. So if anybody out there has eyes on that, please let us know.
Let us know. And speaking of 526, they're talking about spending $300 million today. County Council going to be voting on that. So we'll find out.
Well, it's one of those that, you know, you wake me when you make a decision.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
This is just, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of people, I'm over it. Make a decision. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. Why do we have to be toted around like this as taxpayers?
But to me, they're still not offering how they're going to pay for it. They're just promising to pay for it, and I don't know if that's going to fly with the SIB.
Yeah, this 526 thing, I don't know. This has just hung over the low country for so long, and it's just figure it out, you know?
Right. Exactly. Either get on with it, or let's just move on and figure something else out. All right, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Brad Franco from News 2. It's 17 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. A bit of a row yesterday. A bit of a tense conversation between Donald Trump and the powers that be in Australia. And some people, I don't know who is leaking this information from the Oval Office, but I don't know if it may be Donald Trump himself. I don't know. It may be the Trump administration. But if this is non-approved leaks, then he's got a problem he's going to have to deal with there in the Oval Office. There was a telephone call yesterday between Donald Trump and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. And apparently it turned pretty heated. And from what we hear, Donald Trump hung up on him. Hey, can you believe this fella over there in America? He hung up on me. What kind of a bloke is this? So, but there's another guy. His name is Bob Carr, former foreign minister from Australia. He says he believes this is a healthy exchange between Donald Trump and Australia. He served as the Labor Minister for Foreign Affairs, and he says that he takes the point that it is a good thing between the two. It shows they're a bond, you know, that they feel comfortable enough with each other, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, to disagree like that, and that nobody really gets offended. But at one point, somebody said Donald Trump actually, you know, he's got the phone to his ear, and he's giving Australia the finger. And then Donald Trump comes along and he puts a post up that I want to read to you. And it says, do you believe the Obama administration agreed to take thousands of illegal immigrants from Australia? Why? I will study this dumb idea. So I can't believe it. I can't believe that our country decided to take somebody else's illegal immigrants. Oh, well. Find out more on that. But if Donald Trump does have a leak coming from the Oval Office, he definitely needs to take care of that forthwith. All right. If you know anybody in Texas, check this out. Workers at a Texas daycare are sick and tired of parents picking up their kids while they're on the phone. And you probably see it if you work in daycare, even if you're a teacher. I mean, go look at the lines when you go in to pick up your kids. See how many parents are on their phones. The daycare workers posted a sign saying that it was appalling that parents were paying more attention to their phones than their kids. And here is what it reads. It says, you are picking up your child. Get off your phone. The child, your child is happy to see you. Are you happy to see your child? We have seen children trying to hand their parents their work they completed, and their parents, and their parent is on the phone. We have heard a child say, mommy, 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 and the parent is paying more attention to their phone than their own child. It is appalling. Get off your phone. Some people at the daycare are like, yeah, good, good for you. And then others are like, I'm going to take my child out of this daycare. Which the daycare said, well, when you come to pick them up, make sure you're not on the phone. 15 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Groundhog's Day, ladies and gentlemen.
According to this German tradition,
you know, I'm being stalked by a Nazi.
The groundhog wakes up from hibernation.
Please tell me she didn't sleep in your bed.
If it's a sunny day.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow?
He won't have a shadow.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
So he stays out to enjoy 6 weeks of mild, springy weather.
I do not believe that this dilemma will be solved by partying.
There you go. So the groundhog saw his shadow this morning, saying that there was six more weeks of winter. Now, the movie Groundhog, Groundhog's Day, starring Bill Murray, is about a guy who relives the same day over and over and over again. And no matter what he does, it's always the same outcome. Come midnight, he gets to start all over. So, that kind of makes me feel like exactly what we're going on with here in the Lowcountry as far as 526 is concerned. It's the same thing over and over and over and over again. And no matter where we are at the end of the day, it seems like the next day we wake up and we're right back at square one. So tonight at 5 o'clock, the Charleston County Council is expected to vote on a proposed ordinance that would commit the county to covering more than $300 million in the 526 shortfall. Okay. Now, we all know how this has happened. The SIB, the State Infrastructure Bank, has pledged to pay so much money if we can come up with this amount. Now, they gave us a ridiculous deadline last year that we failed to meet, of course, but kind of in my mind, it was my opinion that we were set up to fail on that because the SIB didn't want to give us the $700 and something million. So, we need to come up with $300 million. And this thing has been going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Well, anyway, they're going to meet tonight at 5, second floor of the Lonnie Hamilton building. And they really don't have a plan to show, again, how they're going to cover the money. The only thing that we're hearing right now is they're going to use their AAA credit rating to assure that they will bring up, they will have the $300 million. I don't know. I'm not really sure if this is exactly the plan that the State Infrastructure Bank is looking for. Now, back in December, Elliot Summey told the bank board that the county would cover $150 million of the shortfall, and the Berkeley County Charleston Dorchester Council of Government Transportation arm, known as CHATS, would cover $195 million using the region's allocation of federal funds. So, I think right now we're right back where we started from. Councilman Dickie Schwerz, who doesn't want the extension, said he's concerned about the impact of the ordinance on taxpayers. He says, basically, it says, we don't know how we're going to get the money, and we're going to march forward and get it done. I kind of agree with that. Let's go to Bill on John's Island. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Doing good. What's up?
I just wanted to make a quick point about this 526 completion from John's Island to John's Island. I live on John's Island, been there for many years. We have, you know, we need some relief. Something's got to be done. And the people, my point that I want to make is the people on John's Island that have had the loudest voice about not doing this 526.
Right.
Some of these people are the largest landowners on John's Island. Now, their land has shrunk over the years due to the fact that they've sold off so many pieces of their own land.
Yeah.
So to me, that means that they are responsible for the increase in population on John's Island.
Mm.
So had you not sold all this land off over the years, you would not have this many people. You would not need this bridge.
And of course, they're selling it to developers.
Yeah, and my advice is stop talking about not wanting the bridge. You're part of the problem.
Yeah.
We need some kind of relief.
So, Bill, what are your neighbors saying? What are your neighbors saying about 526? Do they want it done, or are they kind of like, let's either do it or don't, but quit being, you know, hemming and hawing about it?
Most people I talk to want it done.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, have different ideas about what should be done and instead of the bridge, but I think most people just want something done. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I agree. Bill, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you calling in. But what I want to know is how the heck we're going to pay for it. It's not a matter of if we're going to pay for it. It's how. I mean, they even talked about putting up a toll booth on 526 and things like that. I just give us something. Give us some sort of an answer. We just want an answer. Are we going to pay for it? Yeah, we're going to pay for it. How? We got good credit. I got credit. Don't worry about it. I like that. Yeah. It's like you go to the bank and try to get a house. Yeah, I'll pay for this house. All right, how are you going to pay it back? I got plenty of credit. I'll go $300 million into debt to get this thing done. Oh, well, that gives me a lot of confidence. It gives me a lot of confidence. So yeah,
I don't know about you, Charlie, but right now I was against having a toll road, but at this point, if that's what it takes to get it done, put the toll on. As long as the toll is on the new part,
right,
not the existing part that should have already been paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Although I don't think our sales tax can go up any higher in Charleston County.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, we're I don't know if it's this high in New York City.
I don't either. I mean, I would love to see what communities have the highest sales tax, but we're right up there. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, especially if you go out to eat.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, pull up and grab a burger from a drive-thru.
Right.
Suddenly that dollar burger, you know, ends up costing, you know, $1.10 or $1.11.
Yeah, that's hefty. You know, we're talking 10, 11%.
It's a lot of those half pennies.
That half penny will kill you over time.
Yeah.
It really, really, yeah, it raises a lot of money, but over how much more? What's the cap? What's the cap on the sales tax
with that
half penny? Oh, yeah. They don't know. They don't know from an end of this thing. So, I don't know. Just get the thing done or don't. And that's where I am right now. Either get it done or let's just shut up and quit talking about it.
Yeah.
So. But apparently we're going to keep talking about it. Don't worry. We got plenty of credit. I got plenty. You know how many credit cards I got in my back pocket right now? I'll pay for that right now.
And I can always get more.
And I'll go get more.
When those
are
maxed out, I'll just get more.
I got one of those Capital One cards. What's in your wallet? So, and you know, we'll get frequent flyer miles, too. That would be great. I wonder if they offer stuff like that to those communities. I don't know. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Coming up, we're going to be talking more about the riots out at UC Berkeley and the death of the freedom of speech movement. You don't want to miss out on that. But if you missed the news this morning, the groundhog did see his shadow, saying that we will have 6 more weeks of winter. And I'm looking outside right now, and I don't know how we're going to make it for 6 more weeks. I mean, it's been brutal so far. Some folks were saying yesterday that they said, forget winter. I got pollen on my car, and it's true. High today is going to be around 74. Tomorrow, 63 for a high. Saturday, 53. Sunday, 65. So very mild temperatures for the next week, it looks like. We have a slight chance of rain, but don't worry too much about that. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA. Charleston.
A Cumulus station.
Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Malcolm. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. James.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of free speech,
uh-huh.
I just want to update you on the vicious killing of the 6 Muslims in Canada.
Uh-huh.
It was a hateful white male bigot again, but...
Okay.
You didn't... And recently, the Reverend Al Sharpton. He was mocked on the Fox News channel.
Right, right.
About whether Jesus was a refugee.
Right.
Well, if they go to, was it Matthew 13, verse, mm-hmm. second verse?
Yeah.
Chapter. It's right there, and they'll get there. And they,
it says, I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. You know, Malcolm, even biblical scholars have come out and said, you know what, not really a refugee. Even biblical scholars. Now, this is the Reverend Al Sharpton, who is supposed to be a minister of the gospel.
Well, he's been a child.
I'm sorry?
He's been a minister since he was a child. And the book, I'll put more faith in what the Bible says than what scholars say, and because scholars are men.
Unless that scholar, of course, is Al Sharpton, right?
What's that, sir?
I said, unless that scholar is Al Sharpton.
No.
Then you'll put store on that and that.
No. I said he was mocked. And I tell you that it's Matthew 13, second verse.
Okay, well, since you are so knowledgeable about the scripture, where in the Bible do you find where we're supposed to open up our borders to anybody who wants to come in?
No. I just was telling you, I said I wanted to update you. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to update you is, why does the First Lady, beautiful woman, why is she always? We never see her. We always see his daughter taking this trip yesterday on the helicopter. I mean, usually we see the president and his wife. You know, what is the deal here? I mean, I don't understand.
She's raising her child, Malcolm.
She can get all the money that they have. They can get people to help raise their child.
Oh my God! I mean,
this lady, we never see, and that's a mystery to me. Why don't we ever see Melania, whatever her name is, and we always see Ivanka? It's a strange deal. But
is it?
To each his own.
Okay.
To each his own. You have a good day.
You have a good day. You got plenty of money. Just let somebody else raise the child. What is the matter with you? A stay-at-home mom? A mom who is actually vested and interested in the well-being and the care of her child with all that money? Why, I never heard tell of such a thing. My word. My word. Rahm Emanuel, Chicago, the mayor, the godfather. Remember when Donald Trump came out and said, listen, Rahm, if you don't clean up Chicago, we're going to have to do it for you. Remember that? Apparently, Donald Trump even met with Rahm Emanuel. Even met with Donald Trump. Rahm Emanuel had a meeting. And here's what Rahm Emanuel has finally said. Just send them. That was his quote. Just send them. We don't need to talk about this anymore. Just send more FBI, more DEA, more ATF agents. He said this during a news conference Wednesday. He said, we don't have to talk about it anymore. Just send them. Then they asked if Rahm Emanuel wanted the president to visit the city. He said, no. He said, what I would really like is the federal resources. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You know why he doesn't want to meet with Donald Trump? He doesn't want to have to sit down and face the guy. He doesn't want to have to sit down and face-to-face announce that the Rahm Emanuel mayor's office has been a complete and utter failure to the people of Chicago. Complete and utter failure. I think we had, over the weekend? How many people were shot over the weekend? 53? Something like that in Chicago alone. That's one more than last year. How about that? One more than last year. Oh, yep, 51 people killed last month alone. That's an increase over the numbers in 2016. Police reported 234 shooting incidents with 299 victims in Chicago during January. 234 people shot. Or are shot at. 299 victims. I don't know how that works out, but that's the FBI, the police statistics there. So police
And Emmanuel noted that three districts of the city's south and west sides, the 7th, 11th, and 15th districts there, accounted for about half of the city's murders last month. So, yeah, he needs help. So he's like, just send him. Just send him. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Just send him. You were right. You were right. If I were Donald Trump, I'd say, you come to my office. You come to my office and you meet with me and you grovel, Rahm Emanuel. He won't do that, but I think it'd be funny if he did. So Donald Trump, again, right, boy, I tell you what, I don't know what's got the left. I think what's really getting their goat is the fact that Donald Trump is doing what he's doing what he said he was going to do, and B, it's working. That's what really gets their goat. That's what really gets their goat, that it's working. Rahm Emanuel, just send them. Just send them. We need help. Someone help me. But doesn't want to say it to Donald Trump's face. All right, it's 13 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
That's an attention getter.
On 1250 WTMA.
There's more Charlie James coming up next on WTMA.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us. It's Thursday morning, the second day of February, Groundhog Day. Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow this morning, saying six more weeks of winter. However, up in Atlanta, General Beauregard Lee, their groundhog, did not see his shadow, meaning early spring. So it looks like we'll have an early spring here in the southeast. So I'm all for that. Good for us. All right, up in Columbia, there is a plastic bag bill that is going through the South Carolina House, and environmentalists are urging state senators to let cities and counties continue to decide whether or not to ban the grocery bags, plastic grocery bags. So they say some supporters of the plastic bag industry are trying to prevent, now these are lobbyists from the plastic bag industry, yes they have them, trying to lobby to prevent local governments from prohibiting the bags, which they say supports jobs and provide a convenient way to carry groceries and other items. The supporters back a House bill that would eliminate local bans on plastic bags. I think you ought to let the community decide whether or not they will have plastic bags. Okay, so say this bill goes through and all of a sudden you can't stop plastic bags. What else is Columbia going to mandate? That can communities set their own traffic violations? Can they set their own fines for violation? Can communities set their own parking requirements? Can communities set their own, you know, put up their own, I don't know, what do you call those things? Traffic meters. Parking meters. Can a community do that? Can a community put up their own stop signs? Can a community, does a community have the right to some sort of self-determination? So if this bill passes and all of a sudden the community comes up with, hey, they say a community cannot ban plastic bags, what is the community's alternatives? Now, now most of these are the coastal communities, Isle of Palms, Sullivan's Island, Folly, places like that, and of course down in Hilton Head and places like that. They're saying that these plastic bags, and some of the environmentalists are, and I'm going to agree with them on this, that when the plastic bags get into the ocean, these sea turtles think they're jellyfish. And I kind of thought we were all for protecting sea turtles in the Lowcountry. I'm certainly for it. So the sea turtles see these plastic bags, they think they're jellyfish, they eat them, it clogs up their digestive tract, and it can kill them. Now, anything that could do that, now I'm all for, you know, the government pretty much staying out of our business, but in this case, the government needs to stay out of the business, in my opinion, of the local community. So what would you do if this passed? Could the local community come along and say, all right, well, we're going to put a We're going to put a plastic bag tax. We're going to put a citywide plastic bag tax on all plastic bags. Is that the way you want to go, Columbia? Does a community put up billboards saying, please use paper bags when buying groceries? So I think we really could get into a pretty big mess when Columbia starts telling folks like Isle of Palms, Sullivan's Island, whether or not they should have plastic bags. I understand the whole jobs issue, but really, I mean, what, you go to the Harris Teeter over on Isle of Palms? Is it really going to inconvenience you that much to get a paper bag? I like the paper bag. When I go to Trader Joe's, that's all you get is the paper bag. And yeah, maybe you can't carry quite as much, but, and we'll go to Trader Joe's and we'll be buying groceries, and I'll constantly throughout the store, I'm going, third floor, hon. We live on the third floor. Third floor, darling. Third floor. And Sheila's like, more water. We need more seltzer water. She doesn't really talk like that. Don't think she does. I wasn't saying that my wife talked like that. She does not talk like that at all. At all. She has a very lovely, lovely voice. But anyway, they're trying to tell local communities how to handle their own business. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Did you hear Iran is going to impose sanctions or bans on Americans traveling there? I mean, what is this going to do to Iranian tourism?
Hello, this is Mohammed Abdul Fahim Al-Jabbar, the Minister of Tourism for Iran. Unlike you filthy savage Americans, we Iranians will not ban you from coming to our beautiful country. Come to Iran and enjoy our many attractions, such as Two Tattered Flags Amusement Park, where you could play games of challenge like toss the wax head into the basket, and our audience interactive game show, Bomb No Bomb. Plus, if you pay extra, we will simulate a kidnapping and hold you for ransom for years. Just imagine all the falafel you could eat in a dungeon with rats and smelly terrorists. Groundskeepers who will cater to your every whim. Don't just take it from me. Ask my ninth wife, Fatima Abdul Fahim Al-Jabbar.
Come to Iran, a paradise you'll never leave. Ever.
Huh? What do you think? That sounds pretty good. I'm going to have to call my travel agent and get me book me a summer vacation in Iran. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. There's a new survey. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a new survey that asks people the all-important question of whether or not they eat a bunch of bite-sized foods in one bite or two. Oh, yeah. They did a study. 73% of people say they eat sushi in one bite. 34% do that with French fries, 27% with strawberries, 23% with deviled eggs, and 12% with a McNugget. That's right. That's right. But you may be more restrained and polite. So here are the results of the survey about the 11 bite-sized foods and how many bites it takes to eat them. Sushi, one bite. 73% of us do that. Shrimp. Who eats shrimp in two bites? Really? That's why they call it bite-sized. Donut holes, 62%, one bite. A Pringle. Yeah, who eats a Pringle in two bites? You're just wasting time if you're using two bites to eat a Pringle. Pizza rolls, one bite. One French fry, one bite. Three French fries, one bite. A strawberry, 27%. I'm going to have to go with two bites on a strawberry. I don't know why. A deviled egg, two bites. A Reese's peanut butter cup. It all depends. If I get the pack of two and I share one with Sheila, sometimes I will make it last and go two bites. Sometimes. And then other times, one bite. A McNugget, one bite. And of course, who eats an Oreo in two bites? Nobody does that. You dunk it in milk, pop it in your mouth. But they did. They paid for a study on that. Oh, and speaking of fast food, this is, you know, everybody's going crazy because, you know, March is coming up, St. Patrick's Day. Everybody's looking forward to the McDonald's Shamrock Shake. Yeah, guess what they're also going to do this year? McDonald's trying to rule the world. They're coming out with a chocolate Shamrock Shake. Yeah, that's right. Now, what they're going to do is fill the bottom half of the cup with chocolate milkshake and the top half with the Shamrock milkshake. Oh, they're evil. Then they're going to put whipped cream, green sugar crystals, and a little chocolate syrup on top. Now you're talking, McDonald's. Some McDonald's locations are already starting to get the Shamrock shakes in stock 6 weeks before St. Patrick's Day. So you can actually, there's actually a website you can check it out, shamrockshake.com, to find out where you can get those. Absolutely, I will do that. Yes, yes, I will. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Let's go west of the Ashley real quick and talk to John. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Have
yes,
you
sir.
Heard about the clerk of court in York County?
No, I have not. What's up with them?
Well, he removed the Confederate flag and two portraits, one of Jackson and Lee, when they were renovating the courthouse. And that was all doing fine. He protected them. But now he refuses to put them back up.
Uh-huh.
He says he feels within his right to do so.
His right? Well, isn't he a public servant?
Well, he is a public servant, and he also is violating the state heritage law.
Right, yeah, there you go. Yeah, you know, these people that are trying to do this, I mean, this reminds me of the attorney general who said she wasn't going to uphold Donald Trump's immigration ban.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. John, I appreciate you calling in. I got to hit a hard break. But it also reminds me, you know, here's a woman who stands up to Donald Trump, so to speak, and she's a hero, yet you get that clerk of court in Kentucky who refuses to issue marriage licenses, and she's a villain. The hypocrisy of the left.
Michael Savage Afternoons, stimulating talk all day.
WTMA 1250 Charleston.
Of course, we all know that Neil Gorsuch was nominated for the position of Supreme Court Justice by Donald Trump. Here's what Gorsuch had to say.
Standing here in a house of history and acutely aware of my own imperfections, I pledge that if I am confirmed, I will do all my powers permit to be a faithful servant of the Constitution and laws of this great country. As this process now moves to the Senate, I look forward to speaking with members from both sides of the aisle, to answering their questions, and to hearing their concerns. I consider the United States Senate the greatest deliberative body in the world, and I respect the important role the Constitution affords it in the confirmation of our judges. I respect, too, the fact that in our legal order, it is for Congress and not the courts to write new laws. It is the role of judges to apply, not alter, the work of the people's representatives. A judge who likes every outcome he reaches is very likely a bad judge, stretching for results he prefers rather than those the law demands. Mr. President, I am honored and I am humbled. Thank you very much.
All right, joining us on the program right now, he is a professor of the Scalia Law School at George Mason University. Please welcome David Bernstein. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Glad to have you on the program. Have you ever seen a more qualified Supreme Court nominee?
He's extremely well qualified. I don't know, you know, there have been many over the years. I think he's as well qualified as you could ask for, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so how does he, you know, he's taking over for the slot that was vacated when at the passing of Antonin Scalia. How does he measure up to Scalia?
Well, yeah, Scalia is a legend, so who knows? You know, not everyone could be a Scalia, but I think he has a very similar outlook, a very similar, very good writer, just like Scalia was, maybe a little bit less acerbic. Scalia was known for his acerbic views.
Right.
And he also seems a little bit more skeptical of upholding the actions of the executive branch, in other words, the president and his bureaucracy's actions.
Right. So what are we expecting through the nomination process or through the approval process with the Senate?
Well, under normal circumstances, until pretty recently, we would have expected him to sail through based on his qualifications. He's extremely well-respected, extremely well-liked. However, the Democrats are out for blood because the Republicans refused to even hold hearings on President Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland. And they and their leadership has promised to filibuster the nomination regardless of how qualified or how much they like him otherwise.
Right. And then, of course, always brings up the argument, what about the nuclear option? The Harry Reid rule. Can they just make this a simple majority, in which case he would be confirmed?
Well, I think Mitch McConnell and the Senate would be reluctant to get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court nominees. But I think if the Democrats choose to filibuster this one, after the Democrats themselves went nuclear, so to speak, on lower court judges, McConnell will have no choice but to invoke the nuclear option and ignore the filibuster, get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court nominations. And from now on, they'll just be majority. But I wouldn't be surprised if some Democrats have second thoughts about it and he does, in fact, get 60 votes.
And because they've got to realize that, you know, this was their rule. Harry Reid came up with this. And remember, your party's not always going to be in office. Would McConnell also be hesitant to enact a nuclear option? Because, you know, that would just give fodder for the next Democrat president in office.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Although, since the Democrats invoked it, for lower court judges to stack the lower courts, in theory, you know, who's to stop them from doing it for a Supreme Court nominee?
Yeah.
But I think I think McConnell and everybody else would prefer if we didn't have to worry about the Democrats' filibuster failed.
So any sticking points, do you think, with Gorsuch as far as being anything going to come up that we're not expecting so far?
I doubt it, but you know, one thing about these Supreme Court nominations is, besides being an opportunity for political grandstanding, interest groups could raise tons of money over these things. So there'll be all sorts of allegations flung at him that he's anti this or anti that, but most of it will just be noise.
So what about? I just had a question for you, and it slipped my mind. Lots of allegations about him and this group that he started in high school. Fascism forever. Is that going to get any traction whatsoever?
This is the first I've heard about it.
Okay.
But I'm assuming that he was being ironic because people on the left are prone to calling anyone they disagree with fascist. I'm sure he's not really a fascist.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's not. So, I mean, again, this guy's only 49 years old.
He's
fantastic.
It's shocking. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I was saying yesterday, I'm sitting there watching this guy during his speech during the nomination. I was like, what have I done with my life? I mean, look at this guy. He's above a Rhodes Scholar. That's how smart this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that he's one of the cream of the crop of the federal judiciary. And, you know, he's not a party line guy. He calls him as he sees him. He doesn't always follow what would be considered the so-called right-wing view on things. He's a judge's judge, great writer. Everyone likes him. Like I said, under normal circumstances, he'd be sailing through.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking with David Bernstein from the Scalia Law School at George Mason University. Calling balls and strikes, is that pretty much what he says he's going to do?
You know, every judge says that they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And of course, of course, you can't take completely ideology and personal views out of things as controversial as the Supreme Court. But I think that he has a reputation for fairness, for not going along with his colleagues, even when the political things. And what I like about him is that he's written some very independent opinions that if Donald Trump had been looking for a strict party line guy who's just going to uphold whatever I do, that would not have been the choice. He's an independent thinker. That's what you want on the court.
Do you know, being a law professor at Scalia Law School at George Mason University, do you ever have these students that come through where you go, yeah, this guy gets it. This guy is going places. What do you look for in those students?
You really look for people who have the perspicacity to anticipate arguments that, you know, elite legal scholars, Supreme Court justices, and so on have made, and they come up with them before you even mention it in class. And they're just really on top of things, and they make – sometimes I've seen students make, you know, clever arguments, and I see a year later a Harvard law professor says, here's the original argument I just came up with. People like that are,
right.
Are the star students.
Yeah, and those that actually know the meaning of the word perspicacity. Those, you look for that. That's class number one. All right, Professor David Bernstein, we appreciate you being on the program this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. The word of the day, perspicacity. Man, it was so hot, I broke out in perspicacity. I had to go put on more deodorant. That's how hot it was in Charleston in the wintertime. It's February, and I'm breaking out in perspicacity. I hate when that happens. All right, it's 17 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 2016, you know, the folks in the news industry, they got together, even the folks over there at the BBC, and they got together and they decided what the best news bloopers were during the year. The best news bloopers. And of course, we've seen a lot of them. Maybe even, you know, Octavia singing My Girl at the auditions yesterday. That was pretty funny. I love that. Here she is. Oh, if you didn't hear her.
Feel this way, my girl. Talking about my
she got caught by Brad Franco. All right, so here was the funniest news blooper, and this actually came from this was actually from January of this year. Here we go.
First and last name, please.
Erica O'Donnell.
And can you spell first and last?
F-I-R-S-T-L-A-S-T.
I met your first and last name.
I'm so nervous. No. Finally, at this hour, bird is the word. A large bird is running amok out west in Valley Springs, California. No one knows where it came from, but it's causing a disruption by roaming the streets and stopping traffic. A wild emu is roaming the streets in the small town of 3,500 people. I'm going to try to get through this story. To find an emu, you have to know what it looks like. For now, George is free to roam the small California town. Authorities in the area asking people to keep an eye out for a giant bird and slow down if you see it while driving. Webster's Dictionary describes an emu as a swift runner.
It's not always easy doing the news. It's 15 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Good morning. It's about 11 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250 if you got anything you'd like to talk about. And can you believe that CNN did a town hall with Nancy Pelosi? When was the last time? I guess this is a new revelation happening with the Trump administration. I mean, it's got to be, right? They usually don't do things like that. So here's a big town hall. They got Nancy Pelosi, and old Nancy, she decided she was going to take a few shots at Neil Gorsuch, which is the nominee from Donald Trump to the Supreme Court. And it's just amazing that folks like Jake Tapper will let her get away with it. In fact, they let her get away with everything. Everything. And Jake Tapper asked her for her take on Neil Gorsuch, the nominee for the Supreme Court. And she made this statement. Here's what she said. If you breathe air, drink water, eat food, take medicine, or in any other way interact with the courts, this is a very bad decision. That's her quote. What? Now, what do you think the follow-up question should be? Huh? What do you think the follow-up question should be? Shouldn't it be something like, how has he come out against those things, Ms. Pelosi? But no, not at all. Jake Tapper just goes ahead and lets her go with it. Completely lets her go with her wild accusation about Gorsuch. I can't believe, you know, they have lost any semblance at CNN of being fair or balanced in any way whatsoever. In any way whatsoever. And I like to say that it blows my mind that they do it, but you know what? It's almost like I'm getting used to it. That these people have, there's no journalistic credibility with them anymore. Here's more from Pelosi's town hall.
It's a very hostile appointment. Hail fellow, well met, lovely family, I'm sure. But as far as your family is concerned, and all of if you breathe air, drink water, eat food, take medicine, or in any other way interact with the courts, this is a very bad decision.
Well, how would that be, Ms. Pelosi? No, didn't come from Tapper. They're so utterly gut-turningly disgusting. Horrible. He allowed the slanders and just moved on to, you know, other questions that were probably approved by Nancy Pelosi at her town hall. So she goes on to say that talking about Donald Trump, unbelievable. Talking about he's come down against employees' rights, clean air, clean water, food safety, safety and medicine, and the rest. If you care for your children, he's not that guy. Goes on to say that he has hostility towards children in school, children with autism. And this is the same thing, but it's not anything that we haven't seen before. Remember, Harry Reid coming out against Mitt Romney, lying, admittedly lying, that he said Mitt Romney hadn't paid taxes in 10 years. And the media just ran with it. Nobody ever followed up and said, how? Where is this coming from? Harry Reid, can you give us a couple of examples? Can you show us your documentation? No. And then Harry Reid, just a little while back, said, yeah, I lied. It got the job done, didn't it? So he was proud of it. They are absolutely unbelievable. And then it's more and more coming, because they don't know how to lose. Berkeley, California. The real free speech movement of the 60s. Started in Berkeley about 1964, 1965. That's where that school was known as an institution of free thought, a free exchange of ideas. You could come here and hear, you could come there and find speakers with points of view from every corner of the globe, every political color of the spectrum. Everybody had a say at Berkeley, and that's what they were proud of. That's what they were proud of. Well, apparently that died last night when Milo Yiannopoulos was going to give a speech. He's an editor from Breitbart, and he was going to give a speech at Berkeley. So there were some people there that were protesting his speech. And I guess out there, there's a bunch of anarchists that decided to join the fray. And they started, overturned a car, set fires. They pepper sprayed one of the Yiannopoulos supporters, hit her in the face with pepper spray, starting fights. Now, this is the left. This is the radical left that we're talking about. Now, imagine this. They are protesting a gay Jewish foreigner because Trump's a Nazi? How does that work? I don't get that. That's very, very strange to me. Very strange to me. This portion of the program brought to you by, in honor of Groundhog's Day, the little Groundhog playset.
Can't make it to Pennsylvania but still want to experience the fun of Groundhog Day? Then get your family the Little Groundhog Day playset. It's got everything you need to celebrate in your own backyard. A top hat, a shovel to dig a hole, and the star of the ceremony, your very own groundhog.
Oh my God, get that out of my house!
Your kids will love it!
Get my broom!
And so will your pets!
He's moving up and down on Mr. Whiskers.
It's fun for the whole family.
I think it's chewing on Grandpa. It bit me. Oh my God, it bit me. My mouth is foaming. I can't feel face.
The Little Groundhog Day playset.
Rabies shots sold separately.
There you go. So Groundhog's Day, the Punxsutawney Phil did see a shadow, meaning we will have six more weeks of winter. However, like I told you before, General Beauregard Lee up in Atlanta said that, no, we're going to have an early spring. And I think we can certainly see that here in South Carolina. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Would love to have you on with us. What else is going on out there? Again, the folks in Charleston County are going to be meeting to decide or try to plead their case on the building of 526, promising that they have the, you know, they got enough credit to back it up with their AAA bond rating. So we'll see what happens with that later on today. All right, what else is going on? Oh, there's going to be a Hardee's opening in the spring under construction in front of the Goodwill store on Clements Ferry Road. A Hardee's. That's nice. What else? Folks out there are not quite as into Valentine's Day as they were last year. Looks like Valentine's Day spending is expected to fall 7.6% from last year's record high. Listen to this. $19.7 billion on Valentine's Day. Yep. According to a consumer survey by the National Retail Federation, Americans celebrating the holiday will spend about $137 each on average. That's going to be about 10 bucks less than last year, but we're still going to hit a whopping $18.2 billion for Valentine's.
Wow. That's
a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
You know what you could probably get your Valentine for that you would really, really like? I'm sure you would like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Tickets to go see Jimmy Buffett. He is coming to town to the Volvo Car Stadium on May 11th, a Thursday night at 8 p.m.
How about that?
So anyway, the wait is over. Jimmy Buffett is coming to town at the Volvo Car Stadium.
You ever seen Buffett?
I have.
Have you? Where?
Down at the Gilliard Auditorium.
Did you really?
Many, many years ago. This must have been in the 80s, but he came out. He had a broken leg, so he was like in a wheelchair.
Ah.
But it was a good show.
He should have come out with like a peg leg, like a pirate. Like that would have been good. I saw him in Hilton Head down there at the harbor in Harbortown.
Yeah,
they actually floated a stage there in the middle of the harbor, and it was awesome. It was absolutely amazing. He put on a great show. As far as I remember, he put on a great show.
What's the capacity at Volvo Car Stadium?
I don't know. It's a pretty small venue for Buffett, isn't it?
I would think he would definitely fill up the North Charleston Coliseum.
Oh, certainly. I mean, with all those parrot heads out there, and they're going to be out there showing up in
mass. I'm sure the tickets will be expensive, and they'll go quickly.
I'm sure they will, and you are right about that. But we will certainly keep you updated on that. Jimmy Buffett coming to Volvo Car Stadium over there on Daniel Island. That'll be a night that you want to, if you're not going to the concert, you want to stay away from Daniel Island.
Yeah.
Isn't it? There's no way that traffic is going to be so backed up on that thing. But again, if you're in traffic or if you're going to the concert, it'll be absolutely fine. All right, folks, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Of course, coming up tomorrow morning, we're going to have more tickets to give away to the Southeastern Wildlife Expo that is going on downtown. And this is amazing to me. This thing has been going on for 35 years, and it just gets bigger and better every year. And I know your favorite part is the Doc Dogs. Those tickets coming up tomorrow morning, which is when we'll see you.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA. Charlie.